Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 21 this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 21. We're going to read verses 15 through 17 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. 2 Samuel 21, verses 15 through 17. If you would, in honor of the Word of God, as we read the Word of God together this morning, if you're able, please stand to your feet as we honor the Word of God, as we read the Word of God this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. And Ishbi-benob, which was the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, secured him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God in this passage that we read this morning. Lord, I pray you that you would use it this morning to help us, your people, to be better Christians, fathers, husbands, whatever the case is this morning for you. Now, for that to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power to preach from to us from this text. Lord, and if there's someone this morning that does not know Jesus as their Savior, either listening on the internet or in this room this morning, we pray they would settle it before they leave today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. As you're being seated, please keep your Bibles open to our text passage this morning. These last several weeks, in fact, this is our fourth week to preach on David and Goliath. And so I didn't see Goliath in the text this morning. You will in just a minute. He is 17, 18-year-old young man, and David, as we know, in 1 Samuel 17, David conquered Goliath. So this is about overcoming great obstacles in life. With God's help and God's bless and God's hand upon you, you can overcome the Goliaths of your life. Yes, you can. Now listen, people. So then, this thing about David and Goliath is not just a story. It's a reminder of what, when you face something no one thinks you can win, you can if God's on your side. More important than that, if God helps you, if God enables you, if God empowers you, you can. Now, in our passage this morning, if you'll notice, Goliath is not mentioned. But the Bible says this giant that David faces here is called the son of a giant. You know, David had Goliath had four sons. I wonder what Mrs. Goliath looked like. He's 9'6", and he has four sons. We can only hope he adopted them. But anyway, they were giants themselves. In 2 Samuel chapter 21, David, this is 40-some years later. David's killed Goliath. 40 years later, now David is 59 years old, almost in his prime. Another 4 years and he'll be there. 63, then he would have hit his prime at 63. See, that's because you're 63, Pastor. What happens when you turn 64? Then the prime rate goes up. That's what happens. It's very, very important. He's 59 years old. David is a trained soldier. He's seen many great victories in his life. And now he's the king of Israel. And it says, and look at verse number 15. It says, there was war again with the Philistines. The Philistines were Israel's ongoing, persistent enemy. And it says in verse 15 this morning, please look at it, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. David had more battles with these people than you could think of. So this business of who the Philistine, Goliath was a Philistine. That means he, his four sons were Philistines. That means David had experience with fighting these people. He comes down to fight with them, and one of the sons of Goliath steps up. Ishbi-benob is what he is called. He steps up, and David takes him on, and David loses. And it says there in verse number 16, and Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. The giant killer loses and almost loses his life. You know, there was a giant David could not kill. Now listen, please listen. He's 59 years old. He knows how to do that. He knows how to kill him. He killed Goliath. Not only that, but now David is a soldier. He has gone from the shepherd boy with the scrip and the sling and the staff and the stones. He's gone from that now to 40-some years later. He's led Israel in many campaigns, especially against these Philistine people. They were constantly their enemies, and David was constantly doing battle with them. And David had seen victory after victory after victory after victory, not only over Goliath, but he saw victory over the Philistine army. So this man's a trusted, tried, true veteran of many military campaigns. Why couldn't he kill this giant? He knew how. This is not in a particular time of David's life where he's out of the will of God or not right with the Lord. So as far as we know, God's working in his life apparently, but the Bible says this giant thought to have killed David. Someone else has to step in. The young man there in verse number 17, Abishai, that's his nephew. His young nephew steps in. He kills the giant. And David is delivered. The giant killer has to be delivered by his nephew. What is this? Why couldn't he kill this one? Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, do you get a lesson from this that's very important? There are more battles and there are more giants to face in life. You say, oh, if I kill that Goliath in my life, that giant in my life, that great obstacle, that'll be the last thing I'll ever have to do. Nope. You'll face another battle. You'll face another giant. And there was war again with the Philistines. And again, and again. David would fight them for his entire 40-year reign as king of Israel. And he would fight them as a young man before he became king. So there was 13 years between his being anointed king, and when he was 17 years old. He was 30 when he became king, so he's got all this time. I mean, for a good 80% of David's life, he's having to deal with Philistines. And he has to go to more than one battle. So, he knows how to kill giants. He knows. And he knows how to go into a battle, into a fight. But this one just about cost him his life. And someone has to step in. You're going to face more than one giant in your life. You're going to have more than one battle in your life. There's going to be more than one thing you're going to have to deal with in your life. There's going to have to be more that you have to handle in your life. There's going to be more times you're going to need to have victories in your life than one time. By the way, it should encourage you that if you saw a giant fall, then bless God, you can see another one fall too. But this one doesn't work here. David, the giant killer, loses. And at the end of the passage we read, verse 17, when Abishai kills the giant, he says, you can't go out and do this anymore now. You have to take that off your bucket list. You're done. Go sit in the palace. We'll do the fighting. He lost his testimony. As in the old days, they'd say he lost his rep. He doesn't have a reputation of a giant killer. The last giant David faces, David loses to. That's not really how you want to do it, is it? I know of a pastor, a faithful man, 45, almost 50 years of pastoring a church, faithful man of God, faithful preacher of the Word of God, in his 80s, about to finish up with his ministry, fell in immoral sin with a woman. That close to the end of his race, faced a giant and lost. Do you understand what happens in life? People, do you understand what happens? The thing of this thing about conquering giants, it isn't just about getting a badge of honor. It isn't about someone saying, look, he's still a giant killer. It's about you're going to face other ones again. And there was war again, and David loses. Why couldn't he conquer this giant? Look in your Bibles now at verse 15. And moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. Last words of verse 15. Notice it. And David and David waxed faint. It didn't mean he got in the fight and he got tired. It meant he came to the fight tired. He was weary in the battle, and he was weary of the battle. Got a lot of weary people. Yep. Yeah, Pastor Johnson, it's tough out there, you know. I can't identify with you. I know that. I live here at the church. I sleep under the chairs. I just show up on a Sunday and go home. So I understand that work thing. I really don't figure that out. It doesn't really kind of compute with me. So I understand people who get weary. To me, it just doesn't quite register because that's not how the ministry is for me and what I do. I remember years ago, one of our men was telling me, he said, man, preacher, he goes, busy this week. I worked almost 50 hours this week. And I counted it up while he was talking to me. By Wednesday of that week, I'd already put 50 hours in. Yeah, I know what weary is sometimes. Yes? Being tired is one issue. People, waxing faint when it's battle time, that's not good. See, what happens to us in our life, we lose to these Goliaths because we operate too much in the flesh and not enough by the enablement of the hand of God in our lives. You say, well, he's 59, Pastor Johnson. First of all, seriously, what does that mean? Moses was still conquering. Moses didn't start leading Israel until he was 80. Caleb was 80 years old when he said, give me that mountain and those giants on it. I don't get the age category. Physically, I understand you can't do at 59 what you did when you were 17. We do know that, right? Some of you guys need to shake your head. Yes, I said you can't do at 59 what you did at 17. Brother Evans and some of our guys that call basketball games. There's this thing, if you don't, nobody in here, plays City League. We have a City League here in Reading. You know what City League is? A bunch of old guys were trying to reclaim the glory of when they were 17. And it's okay to play basketball, it's fine. But let's face it, you're 35, 40 years old, you're not 17 anymore. So physically, I understand that part. I can still do, at 63, I can still do what I did when I was 22. Just takes like a month longer, it's all it takes. But I can get it done. I can put my uniform on, I'll wear it with the military. I just can't get it up past my knees. I mean, that's the I put the jacket on, but I got to rip the back out of it in order to get it on. That's because of the muscles. Okay, all right, so that's not that funny. So David's 59 years old. He said, he's coming to the battle because he's old. That's what it is. No, he's not old. He comes to the battle because he's spiritually depleted. Waxed faint means he didn't have the same power of God upon him as he had when he faced his first giant. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. There is literal enablement of the strengthening hand of Almighty God upon a child of God who's right with the Lord and living in the will of God and doing what they're supposed to do. Because let's face it, if we're not careful, we're going to start getting faint in our duties and responsibilities in life. Husbands and wives, marital issues. Well, I'm just tired of this marriage. That's a testimony that you're not right with God. That's what that is. Yeah, that's right. That's a testimony that you're not right with God. See, marriage shouldn't be something that wears you out. Marriage should be, and everybody gets the difficulties in their marriage. They have problems inside their marriage. Everybody has those times when those things come up. But nobody should be tired of being married. Nobody. It should be, after a while, it should be, and some of you looking at me like he doesn't know what being married is. Been married to the same woman for 42 years right here. You understand? 42? Blew it. Okay, never mind. For a long time, we've been married. 43 years this December. I got it. The truth of the matter is, it is right, 43, isn't it, honey? You don't know either. Okay, good. I'm glad. Well, there goes the happily married thing out the window. All right, now. Nice try. Nice try. Truth of the matter is, dear people, look here. You may not be as excited as you were when you first got married. First of all, I hope you're more excited about it. That honeymoon love stuff is pretty stupid. It is. Young married couples, honestly, it looks so goofy. Calling each other all them stupid names, being pot and boo-boo head and all that dumb stuff. We got married, I told her, honey is all you can get. That's it. Why don't you give me some nickname? Goo-goo head or something like that. People pick up on that. I had an uncle give me a nickname when I was a kid. Now, I've never been crazy about nicknames. He used to nickname me Skid Row. I didn't know what that was until I grew up. That's where homeless people live. And I thought, is that a testimony? Do you think I was going to be a homeless dude? I don't know. We call them bums in those days. But anyway, the point is, this thing about names, marriage. I'm sorry. This family thing just wears you out. Now, you may get a little tired at the family thing, but it shouldn't be wearing you out in your duties and responsibilities. This thing about going to, well, we go to church, you know, it's Sunday morning, I'm tired, I've worked all week, you're the only one. I've worked all week and been busy all week, you're the only one. Everybody doesn't understand, you're the only one. No, you're just like every one of the rest of us. But I found something out, ladies and gentlemen. I found there is a refreshing, a renewing, and a renewal of my heart, my life, and my spirit when I walk with God. There's something about God's enablement upon a person to help them to do what they do and do what they do year in and year out, and you don't get to any battle when you're weary. You come in the power of God anyhow. Philippians 4:13 is still in the Bible. I can do, say it one more time, church. I can do all things through Christ, which weakens me. I can do all things through Christ until I get really tired, and then I'm out of here. It's not how it works. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Yeah, there's times I don't want to get up. There's times I don't want to go. There's times when I don't want to do what I want to do. And I've learned a long time ago, stop operating on your feelings. What you do is you operate by the enablement of God in your life. Giants fall when you come to the battle in strength, God's enablement. You say, well, it's just not his fault. He's 59 and it wasn't on his bucket list, and there he is. Man, we got a generation of whiners in this country. And all they want to talk about is what they can't do anymore. You can't do this and you can't do that. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And yes, you can, yes, you can, and yes, you can. Proverbs 24:10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That's not putting you down. It's just reminding you, but getting your strength from the wrong source. I'm sorry, friend, but there's a time when character won't even get you through it. There's a time when what you can do and what you think you can do won't work, and it won't be there for you. So here's what you need to do then. You and I need to learn to get a hold of God's enablement in our lives every day of our life. You rest every day, don't you? Right? Have you found out the older you get, the less sleep that you need? Then you get to a certain point, and then it's the big sleep. But I mean, you need less sleep as you go along. When you're a teenager, what? They need 14, 15 hours of sleep a day at least. I found something out. 5-6 hours of sleep, I'm good. I found something out, though. I do need rest and naps. I used to hate naps when I was a kid. Especially when you're 12 and they still make you take a nap. That means you're a punk, but I hated naps when I was a kid. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? I like that nap thing. Just a little bit, feet up, 10 toes toward heaven, just a little 4-hour nap right about there. Just a little bit of rest, just kind of recharge the batteries. Yeah, you get rest, but wait a minute. You should be getting your rest in the Lord. He came to the fight weary. Number two, he left some things undone. See, Ishbi-benob is one of the four sons of Goliath, the guy he killed. But wait a minute, he fought and fought with Philistines. These giants shouldn't have been around. Remember when David came down to fight Goliath? We talked about this last week, so I know you remember everything. He came down to the Valley of Elah, and David picked up. How many stones did David pick up? 5 smooth stones. He only used one. Why'd he get 5? Some people say he knew he had sons and he was going to go get them all while he was at it. Why did he just stop killing that one giant? See, there shouldn't have been any more giants. But since there was war again with the Philistines, and this is 40 years after Goliath in the Valley of Elah. So they had battle after battle. I guarantee you Goliath's sons were in these fights. Somebody should have cleaned out this giant. Somebody should have took care of them all. So there was no more giants to be faced. Can I ask you a question? What is it about your life that you've just not taken care of that you should have? Don't leave any giants. In fact, if you trace the history of the Philistine people, they were a group of people that should have never been to exist anyway. When the children of Israel came into the promised land, God told them, wipe everybody out that won't submit. And the Philistines were part of that group. And they wouldn't, but the Bible tells us in the book of Judges that the children of Israel started making peace with some of these people in the promised land. Some of the heathens. Instead of removing them, they made friends with them. Instead of removing them, they made them their servants. Instead of removing them, they just made peace and said, you guys live over there and we'll live over here and we'll have a nice rainbow in between the two of us and everything will be fine. And what they did was they left the Philistine people when they should have wiped them out like God told them to. And because they didn't get rid of the giant future in the past, they had giants in their future. You're going to face another giant. Some of these giants you shouldn't have to face because frankly, you should have taken care of that one a long time ago. Now, what is it? So what is it in your life that you've not done yet? And it's another giant, but you're not taking care of this one. Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, Pastor Johnson, I saw the Goliath of eternity's knocked down, got saved, trusted Jesus as my personal Savior. Wonderful. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you facing these other giants that come along? Are you leaving something there that should have been taken care of, something you know you should have done, some decision you should have made, some choices that you ought to make in your life? Have you seen the giant of the wrong crowd, unsaved, wrong crowd fall, just to see the giant of the saved wrong crowd take you? Are you cleaning house? Are you getting it done? Have you noticed how many of you have a really squeaky clean garage? I mean really well organized. You can put your hand up. I'll only make fun of you for a minute. How many of you have an absolutely perfect, one of those garages where everything's in a place and it's all in little boxes and you got all your little Tupperware things there. And you're one of those guys with all the old days where they took the board, take a lid, nail it to the board, and take the jar and screw it there and hang it up in the garage. It looks like a cockroach festival in there with eggs. And you got all your little stuff in your little jar. Maybe you're one of those really sick puppies who's got a pegboard, and you got little screwdrivers drawn on there with your little hooks, and you hang your screwdriver. Don't you know what a screwdriver looks like? And you got that up there, and you got everything. It's all squeaky clean. See, for most of us, we don't have a clean garage. What we have is a well-organized garage. What does that mean? I know where stuff is. Don't mess with it. You get teenagers, they go in there and they move stuff. You know where that hammer is. It's laid right there for years. Don't touch it. They move it and put it somewhere else, or usually it's laying out in the backyard. But the truth is, you got one of these, you got this well-organized, arranged thing. You ever notice that when a day comes and you get sick and tired of it because it piles up and you can't even get your car in there anymore? What do? You clean your garage out. You get rid of all this junk. You throw stuff out. You clean it out, unless you're one of those hoarders who needs counseling. And you get rid of stuff. 2 months later, what? New stuff took its place. Now you got other junk you never had before that now is in there and the top of your garage sags because you threw everything up in the attic. You know, the truth of the matter is, people, this thing of cleaning house, if David would have cleaned house, this giant would have never been there. He left some things undone. What's undone in your life? What do you know you need to do? Well, you know, Pastor Johnson, I know what that is. Then that's going to be a giant you're going to fall to one day. Then it says in verse number 16, he faces this giant. And notice what it says. This is interesting. When he faces this man named Ishbi-benob, whose weight, verse 16, whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass, he being girded with a new sword. Another giant, new weapon. But now, wait, people, look at me. But it's just a sword. It's not like he had a different version. For some reason, the Bible mentions that this giant has a new sword. So in other words, it was a different kind of a weapon that David maybe had never seen before, but it's still a sword, and it's still in the hand of an enemy, so it shouldn't make any difference, right? Like I said a moment ago, you get rid of the unsaved wrong crowd, and then you get the saved wrong crowd in your life. Why are you just changing crowds? Because they're Christians, that makes it better. You know, there are some people that are Christians that you probably shouldn't hang around with. Huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We conquer the habits of the fleshly stuff, the drugs and alcohol. We conquer that kind of junk, only get addicted to something else in our lives. Then there's just a whole different kind. We trade one addiction for another addiction. Don't you understand? It's just a giant, but it's a new sort. It's the same thing. We're seeing ourselves defeated by new weapons. But what difference does it make what the weapon is? As long as you know what the Bible tells you to do, as long as you know what the Word of God says, then a new sword shouldn't make it. Well, that's something I've never seen before. Well, I'll be honest with you, there's some pretty interesting stuff that comes up nowadays that's new in the areas of technology. As I've said, you can now own a watch that will tell you if you're alive. It'll actually record your heartbeat and tell you if your heart is beating. And not only that, listen to me, it'll tell you how many steps you take every day so you'll know. The key is this, keep making steps. It'll tell you what your respiration rate is. That means if you're breathing. If you don't, you won't know anyhow. And look at me. And if your heart stops, you're not going to know that your heart stopped. Oh, there's some technological discoveries nowadays that are absolutely incredible. Look at me. You can have a telephone and turn the lights on in your house when you're not even home. Lock the doors. Unlock the doors. Turn the heat on. Turn on the air conditioning. Amazing. Start the oven. Get the Keurig working. I mean, it's amazing. You can do everything remote control now, which, by the way, they are now finding out thieves have learned how to hack that. And while you're gone, they get in your house because they just push buttons on their phone and your stuff's gone when you get there. And all that stuff you thought was going to be working wasn't there because your house is empty. Okay, so technologically, but look at me, people. Seriously, look at me. In the way of people today, as to who we are, what we are, and what kind of stuff we face with, it's really not new, is it? Ain't nothing new under the sun when it comes to what goes on in this mind, in this heart, and in my life. He faces a giant with a new sword. Shouldn't have affected David whatsoever. It's still a giant. He's got a weapon in his hand. It doesn't make any difference where it comes from. He knew what was right and what he ought to have done. Last thing is this. You know, he failed at this giant, and this is going to sound ridiculous to you, but where is the stuff he used to kill Goliath with? Remember those four items? Huh? The shepherd's staff, the sling, the stones, the scrip. Where is that? He said, well, he doesn't need that. Now he's 59 years old. He's the king. How ridiculous would that look? Standing there facing a giant 59-year-old man carrying a shepherd's staff in his hand. He's the king. He doesn't need those old equipment. That old armament, that's not necessary anymore because now he's a trained soldier. He knows better. No, the smartest thing David could have ever done when he faced this giant was to go get that shepherd's staff and get that sling and those stones and that scrip and face the giant the way he did the first time. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, the truth of the matter is that may have looked ridiculous for a 59-year-old man to stand there like a shepherd's boy, but it worked when he was a shepherd boy. Oh, you know that stuff of, you know, the Bible and doing what God says and trusting the Lord. Somehow or another, I see Christians and they get to way down their journey in the Christian life. You know, look at me. They've been saved for a while. And all of a sudden now, they don't have to be faithful to church like everybody else did or like everybody else does. They don't have to do everything the Bible says now. It's not necessary. I know I'm all right. Don't worry about it. Yeah, you're about to fall to another giant is what you're doing. We'd be better off looking ridiculous in some people's eyes, but still have the staff of dependence upon the Lord and still have the smooth stones of what we know would work, but they're small but mighty things like obedience and faithfulness to God and doing what the Bible tells us to do. Those things do work, you know. David, don't forget this now. You're forgetting what got you where you are. And my friend, don't ever forget that the grace of God that brought us safe thus far will safely lead us home. And you still need grace. You still need help. You still need God's blessing. Hey, getting a little, what my people call it, smart for your britches. I still don't know what that means. You're too smart for your britches. Does that mean you're not wearing britches? I don't understand what the deal is with that expression. I don't get the expressions. My Okie people, they got all these weird expressions about things. The truth of the matter is, I don't know what that means, but I know what they were telling me. That's because I was a 16-year-old boy who thought he was smarter than his dad or his grandfather. That's a big mistake. Thought I knew better? No, I didn't. Hey, what got you here, that simple faith, obedience thing with God, what got you here will get you all the way to the finish. You understand? Don't ever leave that out of your living. So David's got some things to take care of. Giants he should have cleared out. Should have used the stuff that got him where he was. It may have looked funny to some people. But I'll tell you what, you got people nowadays who are just real faithful to the Lord and they just keep going on. They're the ones who are still doing what they're supposed to do 30 years into it and 50 years into it and 60 years into it. They're still faithful to God and doing what they need to do. The giant killer loses. And then somebody else has to step in. And guess what happens? He loses his testimony. His young nephew says, you can't do this anymore now. Giant killing days are over. Go sit down. Wouldn't that be a shame? Get that far in life all the way and then all of a sudden be told, no, you got to go sit down. You're finished now. Let's make sure we still enable God, have God's enablement and help in our lives. Giants can still fall. Doesn't make any difference what the age are. Now, what your age is, what it is are you dependent upon the Lord? Have you found his strength to enable and help you to do what you need to do? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.